welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Mark Rice and Mr. Sharon Bowie are here. And really, Jess, man, I have to tell both of you guys, your stories are inspirational. And in your case, Mr. Bowie, transformational. And I will say to the both of you, your stories just have to be magnified. Mr. Bowie, how do young boys who right now, like the ones that I deal with and see everywhere, who don't think it's, they don't have an idea of what it is to be incarcerated, but yet they hear people giving them all these ideas and it's not so bad. You know, when I talk with young boys about it, they say, well, you know, my friends are, I'll see my friends there. And so, you know, it's not so bad. My brother's there and my cousins are there and my dad is there. You know, some of the saddest things I've ever heard was, one of the saddest things I've ever heard was from a young boy who told me, I reconnected with my dad in prison. But my grandfather's in prison. The acceptance of it. Now, as you guys stated, it's not the end of the world, but it is for far too many. You guys are the exception, not the rules. So for all those other souls that are impacted and affected, man, how, you know, for every one of you guys who makes it out, I don't know, there are hundreds who don't. So how do we affect them, Mr. Bowie? How do, you know, what's at the end of their stories?
Well, I tend to believe that when you're dealing with something that is extremely complicated, you look for a simple answer,
right.
Occam's razor. Let's just cut right through it. And the first thing that we have to do, and that I think that we have gotten away from, is we need to teach our youngsters a respect for the law. Now, the law in and of itself is not corrupt. It's people who are corrupt in the enforcement of the law. And, you know, and I'm not going to proselytize or preach or anything like that. But, you know, I'm a big, big fan of Paul and the Acts of the Apostle. You know, the law lets me know what I can and cannot do.
Right.
So from that foundation, then I began to discover what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. I think so many of our young people are just like kites in the wind, just flowing on the breeze. They have no idea that. And as you pointed out, sir, earlier in our discussions, the individuals who are in prison, they don't know they can get their child support frozen. They don't know that they can file a motion for sentence modification. So let's start off with the simplest thing, the easiest thing, the quickest thing that we can do. And that is, one, teach a respect and a knowledge of the law. And once we do that, then other things will just will flow. That's what I believe.
Well, so let me say this, because my good friend, Darrell Williams, Dr. Darrell Williams,
yes,
who is a candidate for United States Senate, yes, is on the line. I don't have to tell anybody how much I admire this man, and I've had him on many times. But let's do this, Connor. Let's just bring Dr. Williams on. Let's just bring him on. Hey, Dr. Williams, how you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Ingram. Just sitting up and listening, Mr. Bowie, and I just wanted to chime in and just tell you what a wonderful job this man is doing over at Marquette, working with our population that's been touched by incarceration. I had the opportunity to speak over there and actually ran into one of my former students while I was there. And this is the work that our community needs. We talk about it, but Mr. Bowie and his team are actually being about the work and doing just a tremendous job over there and keeping them in school so they can become more contributing members of society. So this is the work that we must continue and support throughout this community. Just wanted to let you know that.
You know, Dr. Williams, just had the pleasure of meeting this extraordinary man, and right away the first thing that came to my mind is we need to have him speak with our children over at the...
No question about it. Yeah. No question about it. He can put it in his... He's an outstanding individual, veteran, with a capital IT.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, Doc, thank you very much as always, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. You know, guys, I still think that we must stop children from going in that direction, right?
Amen.
You know, it is always easier to give direction and guidance to young people early in life than to try to transform them or turn them around. That's with any human being. There are cases of successes, as I stated before, but we've got so many young people who we know are headed in the wrong direction. And we have a system that won't do what's necessary for prevention. That's what frustrates me the most, right? You know, children who schools can't read. If you really understood the sheer numbers of children who can't read, right? We know they're poisoned by leaded water. We know the things that happen that set them on a path of destruction. And we won't address those things, right? We won't spend any money on that. It's almost as if we... As you guys well know, by the time a child reaches a certain age in our society, they can tell how many beds they're going to need ahead of time for locking people up. That makes no sense whatsoever to me, right? It's either defeatist attitude or it is a to me, immoral way of looking at life. If your plan is to plan out the fact that you know ahead of time that young people are going to jail, to me that's a satanic way of looking at things, Mark. And we just got to change that. We can do that.
Absolutely. And definitely it's a cycle in so many communities. I think at the heart of it is structural racism. So we definitely need to look at the... and take action around the huge racial disparities and structural racism that we're seeing that's so deeply embedded in places like Milwaukee.
So you talked about the racial disparities. There are plenty of people listening to this right now who don't believe that.
Well, we can see that there's definitely, Mr. Bowie can also speak to this, but definitely we can see racially disparate outcomes when we look at crimeless revocations, for example. It's just one example where we know that black folks are being sentenced and sent to prison at a hugely disproportionate rate, and for the same types of behaviors that white people under supervision, same technical violations. So for example, 6% of people in the state identify as black, but 40% of people being sent back to prison for crimeless revocations are black. There's also huge disparities in arrests and convictions for marijuana possession. So some things like that where we're seeing these huge racial disparate income outcomes.
So, you know, Mark, mm-hmm. Nobody can argue with the 6% of the state being black and 42% of the people. The statistics you just, regurgitated.
Right.
Man, that should wake up anybody who should, you know, if right. they're not biased, and say, well, something is happening here. Mm-hmm. That large a percentage of those being, revocated over 42%, and you only make up 5 to 6% of the state. That's the answer right there. That something is not right.
Absolutely, and you can go back to some of the root causes like joblessness. When you look at over, and you can see the, like I said before, Wisconsin still detains black men at a higher rate than any other state in the United States. There's a huge disparity there. And just when you look at Milwaukee, for example, over half of black men do not have jobs in Milwaukee. So those, we got to get back to the justice reinvestment idea where we're making these investments up front and reimagining how we're making investments. Like you said, investing in public schools up front. So we brought up the huge numbers, the huge amount of resources being spent on the Department of Corrections on maintaining building prisons over the years. Imagine if instead we were using that to invest in public schools, affordable, stable housing.
Man, people should ask the question, have the African-American males in Milwaukee unemployed? And yet you heard a year ago Donald Trump saying and other Republicans saying, it's the lowest unemployment rate for African-American males in the history of the country. But he wasn't counting. You can say whatever it is you want to say, but those who live in the city know different. And all the time that they were touting that, I was always saying, not Milwaukee. I live in Milwaukee. I see what's going on. Listen, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll take a caller, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.